Hello and welcome back for another week of the Colts Corner Podcast. We took a week off for the nice break, a couple of snow days, but we are back and ready to go on the schedule. We have a beautiful interview with Brent Bland, the freshman on the boys basketball team. We'll have some professional NFL baseball. Mike Garafa is with us. He'll do a little baseball summary of some of the offseason transactions made, and of course Brian will talk a little in the Electric Factory along with some college. Let's do it. We are psyched to be back here for yet another week of the Colts Corner Podcast. I am Douglas Latuca alongside Brian Flattow and Mike Garafa. Ben, I hope you are not hungry anymore. And Matty Gold is MIA. But we are here for you. We love you all. And we're ready for another week.
So psyched to be back. Those snow days, great. But we missed the podcast last week. That was a little bit of a disappointment. Not going to say. I love the snow days, though. But we're back here, and it's wonderful, Doug.
And we are back here. Garafa. Yeah, Mike Garafa, hello, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Of course. So we are back, and in the midst of the little break we had in between, the Hills West basketball team has jumped out to an 8-3 record.
That's wonderful. They're exceeding expectations right now.
They're 3-2 in League 4 play, although they are coming off a 5-point loss against Belport. They have played extremely well. They had two wins prior against West Babylon and Harbor Fields. Unfortunately, fell a bit short against Belport, and they do have a game today at West Islip, 5:45 start. So we could dive into that a little bit. Brent Bland, the freshman guard, correct?
Yeah.
On the team, we caught up with him, and we talked about the success of the team so far and what they have to do to keep playing that way.
Keep running the plays as the coach designs them. Just play basketball, really. Mm-hmm. We have to limit our turnovers and make sure that, that's really
So that was Brent Bland, and he had a lot to say. Just keep running the plays, keep it simple, and just keep playing basketball because clearly it's working.
Yeah, and limit those turnovers is a big part of any basketball team. Definitely.
Yeah, that's huge. The offense is playing really well as well. They're really clicking on that offensive unit. Derek Brower Jr. is number 7 in Suffolk County in points.
That's outrageous right there.
In point average. He's averaging 23.1 per game. He shot 65 field goals. He's made 65 field goals and 24 threes for 52 points.
That's just what you want from your stars. You know, that's the guy who's probably the best player on this team. He's really been playing great this season. That's awesome to hear.
So, yeah, we spoke with Atkinson, Coach Atkinson, and that will be in the print coming out, the beautiful print that will be coming out from the Roundup if you want to catch that. But we spoke to him, and he talked about some leaders that might have to emerge, and Derek Brower Jr.'s name did come up. He is one of the older guys on the roster. He was there last year when they made their run upstate. But
he's a senior, correct?
Yes. He's going to have to step up. And he's clearly doing his job so far, along with Brent, who's doing great as well. So we'll kick it over to girls now, who are actually playing pretty well. Yes, they are playing pretty well.
They are playing pretty well. In their last game, they beat Belport with a final score of 75-42.
Absolute pounding.
An absolute pounding. Sam Hinkie had 30 points in that game. Kayla Robertson had 15 points, 7 assists, and a little bit of a dynasty going on. Alexa Hinkie had 15 points and 7 How much did I say? I said she had 14 points and 7 assists.
Yes, very good.
Messed that up right there. But one of the funny things I looked at in this game, the Hills West girls basketball team outscored Belport in the first quarter 27-2.
Wow, that's amazing defense.
27-2. That's amazing offense also.
Yeah.
That's something you don't see that. That's crazy. That's wild. And for the rest of the game, I'm assuming that we had not the starters in toward the end.
Correct.
Even though I'm sure that they still produced because nothing got out of hand. But in the fourth quarter, we were actually outscored 21-9.
Wow.
So this game, the margin would have been far greater. So the girls' team's rolling. They've been 1-1 since the winter break, but they won 2 prior to that break. So this has been a great a great season so far for the Colts.
So both basketball teams off to hot starts. Definitely, we had Kayla on here for an interview. She seemed pretty psyched. She's taken over as one of the captains of the team, and she along with her teammates are doing an outstanding job. So both basketball teams, A+. Tuesday the 16th,
yep,
we will be doing a live stream, our first live stream of boys basketball.
This time it is definite.
Yes, it's for sure down. We're doing it.
We are static up here
ecstatic.
In the booth.
Yeah, ecstatic.
Not static.
You said static.
Those are opposites, Dougie.
Static is you're not moving, you're not excited at all.
Correct. So we equilibrium. Are very good. Very good work.
We are dynamic.
Yes.
Up here.
That is totally okay. So we're going to move into an NFL blast. I like that very much. So we'll move into that. We had a couple games going on, wild card weekend, and we've got some interesting takes there. Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, it's not an electric player of the week because fantasy is sadly ended. No one's really too happy about that. but my electric team of the week, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. They defeated the Rams last week in L.A. Not an easy place to play. And, you know, the Rams were hyped. It was their first playoff game in years now. They've had that great season so far. They were rolling into this game. A lot of people had them pegged for a Super Bowl contender. But the Falcons, man, they went in. They pounded them. 2-score win. They're coming in this week. They're playing the Eagles, which I'd be shocked if anyone lost to the Eagles with Nick Foles at quarterback in the playoffs. So I think the Falcons are definitely a team to look at this weekend also. And a team that certainly performed last weekend. And also in the AFC, you have your Steelers, Doug. What do you think about that one?
Jacksonville for the second time in the season. First matchup, Big Ben throws 5 picks. Everyone wants a rematch, and we got it. It should be interesting. I want to see AB's healthy. Le'Veon is a beast, and I think Big Ben has a nice bounce back. I think it's going to be a real, real solid game, probably a 3-point game. I think Jacksonville's defense is legit with Ngakoue, one of my favorites.
That's a nice name.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Whoa.
Campbell has been solid on the defensive line as well.
And then in the secondary, man, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, he's got to be the best in the game right now. And then AJ Bouye also, when he's covering the second best receiver, he's going to be on Juju.
Yeah, they've got two really solid cornerbacks there. It's going to be a really, really good game. And everyone should tune into that.
I think the thing to watch in that game, neither team's going to score too many. It's hard to score against that Jacksonville defense. So
yep.
Even the Steelers are going to have some difficulty scoring against them. But I think the key in that game is if Blake Bortles cannot be absolutely terrible. If he could be okay, then they have a shot. If he could be great, which he's not, but if he can be great, then, yeah, they could maybe do it. But I still think that I'm going to go with the Steelers in this one, Doug, your team.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm going to take them. And then also in the AFC, it's New England, right? And New England and Tennessee.
Well, yeah, you got New England, Tennessee. I just don't see Tennessee beating New England here. New England's New England. And they were predicted to get to the AFC Championship. I think they're going to get there, and it's going to be Steelers, Patriots at Gillette Stadium, and it should be a good one.
Yeah, I'm not giving Tennessee much of a chance in this one. They weren't. I don't think that they should have beaten the Chiefs. Still, I think if Travis Kelce's still healthy in that second half, then Chiefs don't panic and choke in that game. And I think the Chiefs may have had a shot at beating the Patriots, but the Titans definitely don't.
You might have a point there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move into the NFC. We have
the Falcons, right? We covered them already. There, I'm definitely.
I don't see Philly winning anything. I think they're awful. Without the MVP, they're awful.
With Wentz, they definitely could have made a run, but
100%.
So
you got New Orleans and Minnesota. This might be.
This is the premier.
This
game.
Is a huge game on the slate.
Yeah,
you've got New Orleans, who's playing some of the best football in the league right now, and
absolutely.
Minnesota, who is a favorite to get to the Super Bowl this year. The Super Bowl is in Minnesota. So you don't see that often. And I think Minnesota, I predicted it here. I had Minnesota Steelers in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to stick to it. I like Minnesota. I think they're going to win. They're going to move on. And then they're going to beat Atlanta in the NFC Championship and move on to Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
You know, Doug, I was skeptical.
Skeptical.
Whoa. Wow, we're having a tough time with the words.
I was skeptical of that at first with the whole Minnesota defending their national championship defending their championship and going and taking the home field there in that game. But it's becoming a reality now because they're playing the Saints. That's a very tough game. I thought that the Panthers could have beaten them. That's why I was skeptical. And the Panthers, there was a really, really tight game there with the Saints. Down to the wire. I don't know if you guys watched that, but it was an absolutely awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers came up just short. I thought they were the team that could have done it, but I don't think the Saints are going to be able to do it. I think Minnesota's going to win this week, and then I don't think Atlanta has it in them to beat Minnesota. I didn't think that they did, really. They'll get to the AFC Championship. They'll beat the Eagles, but I don't think that they'll beat Minnesota. And I think it's going to go to a home Super Bowl, the first one in NFL history.
Wow.
So those are our predictions for the NFL. We had a huge, outstanding national championship game, Alabama-Georgia. I don't watch college. We've went over this multiple times. But I did tune in, and that was electric.
That was something special in that game. Final score, 26-23. Overtime win. Nick Saban, man, he may have just solidified himself as, in my mind, one of the greatest coaches to ever in football history, sports history, because he took out his starting quarterback, who was 25-2 in his college football career. 25-2 as a starting quarterback. He threw one interception all season, Jalen Hurts, and he took him out at halftime, and he put in Tua Tungalulula, the guy from Hawaii, and he lit it up in the second half. He scored. He went up and down the Georgia defense. He looked like an elite quarterback out there, and he made that absolutely beautiful throw in overtime to put them past Georgia. That was something. That game was awesome. And these were two awesome teams. They competed to the end. People on the internet, I was reading it. They said Georgia choked. I didn't see any choking there though, because it wasn't like they didn't stop playing well. It's that Alabama started playing better. That's how I think I saw it.
If anything, actually, Alabama kind of choked when they had the missed punt that they could have won the game
the
on.
Missed field goal, you mean?
Yeah, the field goal. Right. Yeah.
That's a gutsy move by Saban.
That was so gutsy.
Gutsy move to take out your starting quarterback who has been your guy for the last couple of years at quarterback, and to put in a freshman from Hawaii, the lefty slinger. As soon as he came into the game, momentum shifted.
Yep.
He had a great drive.
The name's Tua Tagovailoa.
He escaped. That's the best I can do. Escaped the pocket on third down. That's probably that was a huge play in the game. He was clearly stopped at the line, rolled out to his left, ran for a first down, and he continued the drive. They went in for six, and just like that, Alabama was right back. And you could just feel it. Once Alabama gets the momentum, you're not going to stop that tide, correct?
Yeah, roll tide.
Yeah, baby. There we go. Once
the tide gets rolling, you can't stop.
It's tough to stop. And I really just want to say great job by Georgia the whole season. Really, really great job. They got two outstanding running backs. Their quarterback, freshman, he is going to be there for years to come. He's an NFL prospect already, and he's very impressive. Great season of Georgia and their coach, who was the assistant to Nick Saban, correct?
Yes, Kirby Smart.
Outstanding job by him. Nick Saban doing what Nick Saban does. He's just legendary.
He tied Bear Bryant for the most national championships in college football history.
The guy is a living legend. So college football is over. Alabama wins yet again, 26-23. We move on to off-season baseball. Interesting that we're going to bring it up here, but New York Met fans, you have a little thing to be excited about.
Grace.
You have something to be excited about.
Go, Garofa.
So last night, the New York Mets, out of nowhere, I mean, they have been talking to him for a little while, they signed Jay Bruce, outfielder, to a three-year, $39 million contract. Now, if you don't know who Jay Bruce is, he batted .254 with 36 home runs and 101 RBIs, which is absolutely outstanding. I mean, to get a guy he got $10 million. He's getting $10 million this year and $14.5 million over 2019 and 20, which is, that's an outstanding deal for a guy who's hitting 36 home runs in a season. Now you've got Cespedes, Conforto, and Bruce in the outfield. If they all stay healthy, hopefully, if they all stay healthy, that's at least maybe 80 home runs in a season. So things I'm seeing now, they need a open spot in the 40-man roster because Bruce needs to get in. And there have been talks of a Juan Lagares trade. So I'm thinking potential trade because they need a second baseman as well. I think Juan Lagares and Kevin McGowan, a pitcher who had 8 2/3 innings pitched last year with a 5.19 ERA, I think they are traded to Pittsburgh for Josh Harrison, second baseman. That fills the second base need. He batted 272 with 16 home runs, 47 RBIs. Not many RBIs, you know, but I'll take 16 home runs for a speedy guy.
And right, from a second baseman. You're not looking for RBIs.
He's a good player. He's definitely a good player. I see you have Moustakas there and Frazier, third base options. I like that. If you guys sign Moustakas, you guys have a legit chance at being relevant again.
Yeah. The thing I see here is with the 40-man roster thing, Juan Lagares, I like him. I don't think we're going to be able to get that much from him, though. He's a great prospect, obviously an excellent fielder, but he's hurt way too much. And I not agree. A lot of teams are going to want to go near a guy like that. With the signing, Todd Frazier, not a huge fan. I don't like signing Yankees. I don't like doing stuff like that. I know he's not a Yankee. I know he was a Yankee for a little bit at the end of the season because they traded for him. But he was just a Yankee, and that's the thought in my head. So I'm not really a fan of that move. But Moustakas, I really like, and I think that it would be interesting signing Moustakas and seeing him greet Noah Syndergaard.
Moose and Bruce.
Yeah, no, and greet Noah Syndergaard because there was a little bit of fighting in the 2015 World Series.
I'll put that thumb
up. That's a big thumbs down to you because I love Toddy Frazier and I hope the Yankees sign him back.
That could be a Mets thing now. That would be hilarious.
Yeah,
no,
you're
I don't
done.
Want that. That's
you're
gross.
Done.
So, but they have come out saying that MLB Network came out saying that Moustakas is probably not a good fit for the Mets anymore, which I don't understand why. He hit 38 home runs. I mean, you can't not want him, but they're saying that Frazier looks like a better fit. I mean, he hit 213. I don't want him on my team. But still, I mean, I take him over as Rubel Cabrera. They sign him, then they don't need to re-sign Reyes. They put Frazier at third or Moustakas and then put Cabrera over at second, and then you've got Wilmer Flores going back to platoon. I also have one more thing. Supposedly, the Mets are now out of the bullpen and starting pitching market for the moment.
That's okay with me. Unless we're dealing a stud starting pitcher, I'm okay with that.
I mean, for free agents.
For free agents. Yeah. I thought you meant in the trading.
No, they're supposed to, I want to see them at least get Addison Reed or something else, but they're out for now. Hopefully they go back in. But
so that's Mike Garofa with your Mets summary so far of the offseason. Outstanding work. That was very impressive.
Thank you, Douglas. Great work, Garofa.
You're doing really good work. Ben, we miss you, buddy. I don't know where you are with our electric factory for college. We had to step in there. I think we did a pretty good job.
I enjoyed that. I'm definitely the electric player of the week. I'm going to take Ben's spot. Tua from Hawaii. He had 166 passing yards in the second half. I forgot
Definitely.
To say that earlier.
So we got the Brent Blant interview. We had your school sports. We talked professional. We love you all. We want to thank Mr. Doxy, who's here with us. Mike Garofa, great work. Brian Flattow, I love you, buddy. I want to thank Dr. Catapano, the administration, and everyone who works hard every day to help us strive. Thank you very much. We love you all and see you next week.
We love you all.